1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible, I came in a while ago and Brother Dan was reading his Bible. And I said to Brother Dan, Brother Dan, what would we do without that book? Think about that for just a moment. What would we do without this book that we call the Bible? Amen. Let's start reading tonight in verse number 13. The Lord said here, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Then he uses parentheses here or a comma. And then he says, brethren. He's talking to God's people. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He said, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a passage of Scripture that I believe just about every time I have a part in a graveside service, I try to read from this passage of Scripture. Sometimes with this passage of Scripture, maybe Psalm 23, most of the time with this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And the thought hit my heart this afternoon as I was meditating and praying and asking God's direction for the service, where it said, sorrow not as others. And I know that you know that's in the Bible, and I know that you know that's a truth that God's Word gives to us. But I began to ask myself the question, why? Why do we not, as God's people, brethren, in the middle of this verse, why do we not sorrow not as others? And God gave me the answer in two little things, and I want to magnify these two things tonight in the verse. Number one, we don't sorrow like others because we're not ignorant. Now, the word ignorant, you know, sometimes is maybe referring to just a lack of knowledge. But the word ignorant, as I looked at in the Greek, it's pronounced agnoheo in the Greek, and it means not to know. Now listen, through lack of information or intelligence, by implication, to ignore. See, some people are ignorant because of a lack of information, but some people are ignorant because they ignore the truth of God's Word. And the Bible said, or this definition here talking about through disinclination. It means they're disinclined. To many, you and I that believe the Bible, Bible believers, the church of the living God, we've lost our marbles when you think about it in the way of the world. But God is saying here, Paul is saying, he doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, those that have died in the Lord. And Brother Mays, he said years ago, I heard him preaching, he said, one day you're going to get up, and he said, you're going to open the paper, and he said, in the obituaries, there's going to appear my name. He said, it's going to say that Mays Jackson died. He said, don't you believe a word of it. He said, I'll be more alive than I ever have been in my life. That's the hope of the born-again believer. That's what comes through believing the Word of God. That's what comes from not being ignorant of what thus saith the Lord. And tonight I want to magnify two things. Number one, because we're not ignorant. And number two, because we have hope. I want to magnify those two things tonight. That's why we don't sorrow as others in this world that we live in. The Bible said here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Let me give you several things here tonight. I hope it blesses you the way it has me in the study. First of all, we're not ignorant of His person. I'm talking about now the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not ignorant of His person. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, that we that are not ignorant, we understand that eternal life and salvation is not wrapped up in something that man dreamed up, but it's wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're at Christmas time, and I tell you, I just want to stop and say this tonight. It was refreshing last night to see a president-elect with Merry Christmas on the front of the podium where he was standing. Say amen. Oh my goodness, help us in this country, amen. Help us, Lord, to get back to the place. You know, I told somebody today, I'm not against Muslims coming to our country, but I tell you what, if you want to come to this country, leave me alone while I celebrate the birth of my Savior. And if it offends you, go home. Amen. Go back where you come from. Amen. And I mean that about any people, that we ought to welcome them, but they ought to, my friend, want to not be ignorant of this person of the Lord Jesus. And he said, they believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:19 said, and we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. It's all in a person. We're not ignorant of His person, the Lord. And we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I don't believe you can have eternal life without Jesus. I don't believe you can have Jesus without eternal life. And I don't believe, beloved, listen, that we can be included in the brethren without being born again and without trusting Jesus and that precious blood that He shed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. Why don't we sorrow as others? Because we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of His person. You remember what Paul said? He said, being found in Him. Glory to God. That's what it's all about, honey. When He comes, there are going to be two classes of people. In Him and outside of Him. Those that are in Him, beloved, are going to take wings and fly. We're going to leave this world behind. And we're not ignorant of His person. He said, being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. I tell you, there's people everywhere, even in the religious world, they want to know this and they want to know that. And even in the commercial world, they want to know this and they want to know that. But I tell you, we need to know Him more than we know anything else in the world. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, there's some people,
They want to attain the resurrection without knowing Him. You've got to know Him. You've got to be found in Him. The Bible said that I may apprehend that for which I'm also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing tonight? We can know Him because we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of His person. Secondly, tonight, listen tonight, if you're ignorant of any of these things tonight, you're in trouble. Number one, I'm not ignorant of His person, so I don't sorrow. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I just happen to believe that when it comes my time to go, there's going to be an escort to get me across the river. Amen. And I believe that God's people, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then number two, not only are we not ignorant of His person, but we're not ignorant of His peace. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. But notice this little phrase, not as the world giveth. You see, the world, I believe, gives a peace that's good enough to live by. Brother Steve, tonight in Kingsport, Tennessee, a lot of men have got stocks, they've got bonds, they've got good retirement, they've got a good home, they've got a good vehicle, they've got a good wife, they've got a good family, the cupboards are full, they've saved up, they've worked hard, and they have a peace. But not the peace that Jesus gives. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace, not like the world. Let me tell you something right now. Honey, go back. I didn't live through those days, but I've talked to my dad's aunts and uncles and my dad's mom and dad and that lived through the times of the Depression. You go back and ask those people whose peace was in the world in those days, what happened to their peace when the stock market took a dive? Their peace was gone. But you know what? If you're one of God's youngins tonight, you're not ignorant of His peace. His peace doesn't come and go with the things of the world. Matter of fact, when the things of the world get bad, that's when His peace is magnified in the heart of God's children. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not ignorant of His peace. The third thing tonight, under the first thing, you know how that goes. You got excited a while ago when I said two things, didn't you? But the third thing under the first thing, y'all making fun of me out there. We're not ignorant of His place. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You remember in John, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. We have peace. We just mentioned that. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. I was talking to Sister Teresa's mom the other evening. And I said, sis, a lot of people are going to say, I'm sorry for your loss. She said, that's right. I said, did you ever stop and think if you lose something, you don't know where it is? She said, I hadn't thought about that. I said, we know where she is. Oh, she grinned. You see, God has a place reserved for His children. The Bible said here, my Father's house are many mentions, if it were not so, I'd have told you, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I read this today and I thought it was fitting right here. In one of his books, a man by the name of A.M. Hunter, who was a New Testament scholar, he relates the story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going. As the doctor fumbled for a reply, he heard a scratching at the door. Then he had his answer. "Do you hear that?" he asked the patient. He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "That's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he has grown impatient and has come up, and he hears my voice and has no notion what is inside this door. But he knows that I am here." Isn't it the same with you? You don't know what lies beyond the door, but you know that your master's there. I tell you, if heaven had no splendor for these eyes to see, and if I didn't have a loved one there waiting for me, all I would need to know is Jesus is there. That'd be reason enough. Every child of God ought to feel that way. That'd be reason enough to want to go to glory, because inside the door is Jesus. Beloved, the place would mean nothing without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place that he's gone to prepare. It's a place of comfort. You say, "Preacher, where'd you get that?" Remember in the middle of the story about the rich man, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." I'm going to tell you something right now. The place where God's people are going is a place of comfort. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of contentment. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, a couple of things. The Bible said, "I know that when I shall awake, when I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I believe we'll be content. Don't you? I don't believe we'll be wanting to change a thing. It'll be perfect. The Bible said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Now John, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" I say tonight, we're not ignorant, therefore we don't sorrow. We sorrow not as others which have no hope. We don't sorrow like the world sorrows. And then the last thing here, we're not ignorant of his promise. You see, the Bible said here in verse number 15 of our text, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Beloved, God gave us his word on this tonight. Amen. He promised he would come again. He promised that when he did, he would take care of the dead in Christ, and he would take care of those that are alive in Christ. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible said, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." I say thank God tonight that we have a promise from him. So tonight we sorrow not as others, because we're not ignorant.
The second thing, because we have hope. The Bible said here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I think that we should take just a moment tonight to say that the Bible did not say not to sorrow. It just said our sorrow should be different than that of the world. We're not to sorrow as others which have no hope. You say, well, preacher, why would you say that? Well, first of all, the Bible said to weep with them that weep. The Bible said to mourn with them that mourn. The Bible said to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How many believes if you do that, there's going to be sorrow in your life? Amen. There's going to be sorrow. God knows. God knows there's going to be sorrow. But he said, I just don't want you to sorrow as others which have no hope. There was a time in your life and in my life when we had no hope. Remember this verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2:12, that at the time you were without Christ. How many remembers when you were without Christ? See, if you're without Christ, you're without hope. I really believe tonight that's why a lot of people struggle. They struggle with religion because they've never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, once we're saved, we're born again. Listen, somebody said it's so hard to serve God. Well, how about this? The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. How about this? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't believe that God's people ought to be saying it's so hard. Well, if you went down there and visited with Paul and Silas that night in the jail, they weren't whining. They weren't saying, oh, it's just so hard to serve God. They were rejoicing, Brother Ralph, that they were counted worthy to have them stripes on their back. Rejoicing. I don't believe Joseph was down there having a pity party. The Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. I believe tonight that our hope, once we get saved, will help us along the way. Let me give you just a couple of things tonight and I'll be done. Because we have hope, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Number one, our hope is sure. The Bible said in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things, what that means is, in East Tennessee vernacular, there's two things here that's not going to change. Immutable, it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same. And that is, it was impossible for God to lie. Somebody said one time, said, there's nothing God can't do. I said, well, I beg your pardon. But that Bible said he can't lie. Amen. I understand that mentality. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And with God, all things are possible. I understand. But the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. So if he told us, we can bank on it. The Bible said, our hope is sure. It's impossible for God to lie that we might have a strong consolation. Who's the we that have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Our hope is sure tonight. It's not a hope I get to heaven. Hope is used parallel many times in the Bible with the word faith. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, we're saved by hope. By grace are you saved through faith. This is not I hope I make it. No, it's a living confidence that what God said is true. You can bank on it. You can take it to the bank. Our hope is sure. Secondly tonight, our hope strengthens. Psalms 31:24 said, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye
that hope in the Lord. How many believes tonight that when we're weak, hope will strengthen us? Hope will strengthen our faith. And then our hope is not only sure, and our hope not only strengthens, but our hope is for the soul. It's for the inner man. Listen to what Lamentations said. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope. Notice these two words, in him. It goes right back to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of our soul, or the salvation of the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You said that we're saved. We are, but we're not completely saved. There's a part of salvation. Boy, please listen. Boy, if you take that right there out of context, there's a part of us, the body, that is awaiting redemption. You understand what I mean? Our soul and our spirit is saved, but this body is still corrupt. It must be brought under subjection to the Spirit of God. But thank God, some golden daybreak, Jesus will give us a body like unto the Son of God, and we'll have a new body. And that's the redemption of the salvation that we yet wait for. Our hope is in the second coming, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then our hope sanctifies. Think about this tonight. The Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you think if there's a Christian tonight, and some of you might not even think this is possible, but just think about David for a moment. Do you think if there's a Christian tonight, and he's out there looking at another man's wife, or lusting after another man's wife, or I'll just tell you something that my brother told me a while back, right after my dad died. Maybe you can't relate to this, and in a way I hope you can't. But Brother Ralph, he was going through a grocery store, to tell somebody that worked in the back that Daddy had died. Of course, his heart was broken. He was at a low ebb. And he said, I walked down and happened to be in the aisle. He said, where there was booze on both sides of me, beer and wine. He said, Rick, it was like it was screaming my name. I believe my brother's as saved as a man can get. Thank God he didn't answer the call. But all I'm saying is, if he had answered the call and got in one of them and stuck it under his arm, Brother Steve, he couldn't have convinced me while he was sitting there sucking on that he was looking for Jesus to come. Because the man that's looking for Jesus to come is wanting to live his life and purify himself. Live his life in a manner that he don't have to be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. This hope sanctifies. I'm going to leave you with this tonight. I appreciate you putting up with me this evening. I'm going to leave you with this. I was in Wise County, Virginia, pastoring. If you're from over that way, they call it the Hurricane Baptist Church. I always called it the Hurricane Baptist Church. Lots of people have asked me in my ministry, where'd you go to school? And I always tell them the same thing, Hurricane Baptist Church. That's where I went to school. Pastored there 5.5 years. I was coming down Main Street one day and listening to Christian radio. And a song came on the radio. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Not too often do I just get beside myself when I'm driving. But on this day, I absolutely to the Lord got beside myself. I'm glad I wasn't doing 70. I was doing about 25 through town. Couldn't hardly see the road for weeping and shouting. You say, preacher, where are you going? Here's the song. Listen to the words of it. It said, do you know how it feels to know something's missing and hear a still small voice you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you, on a cross, someone died? Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered, and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? Honey, I was done gone by the time they got that far in the song. You want to know why? I know how it feels. He said, preacher, you're not saved by feelings. I say, amen. And I tell you what, if you're born again, you're going to feel something, honey. I tell you that right now. Going to be a load lifted. They're going to be a load dumped in. He takes that old junk out. He turns his bucket full of love and mercy and grace and joy and peace. Dumps it out in your soul. You're different. The chorus said, how does it feel to know you're a child of a king? Your heavenly Father, he owns everything. How does it feel to know that you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know that you are all right? Would you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Ain't it good to know how it feels? There are a lot of things I'm concerned about on any average night when I pillow my head. But I tell you one that I'm never concerned about, and that's where I'll be if I don't wake up in the morning. Because I'm not ignorant. And I have hope. Amen. The next verse said, do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted? Tears started flowing the moment you felt it. Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed? And it seems like the whole world has been rearranged. Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You just get a feeling you're not at home. Knowing heaven is real. Tell me, Jim, you know how it feels. You know, tonight, my heart is broken, but not as others, which have no hope. Because before the sun comes up in the morning, the Son of God could step out in the eastern sky. And honey, I believe he ought to find us with our chin up, our eyes up, Our prayer's going up. Confessed up. Tried to take somebody else up with us to the city of God. Gonna be good, ain't it? Amen. Gonna be good. With sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. Have they glad tonight you're not ignorant? The truths, this precious old book. Have they glad tonight you have hope? Amen. Have they glad you come this way tonight? Appreciate you coming. Kurt, it's real good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Good to see all of you tonight. I actually thought about, for several reasons, just maybe calling the service off tonight. The way I'm feeling right now, I'm glad I come to the house of God. Glad I come. Amen.